The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. When Judas had left them, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and God will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little while longer. I give you a new commandment. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you also should love one another. This is how all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." The Gospel of the Lord. A quick study of the history of the saints will give you an interesting insight into how to be successful in the Christian life. For me, this has been kind of a big week, actually, because we went to Louisville, Kentucky this week for the National Workshop on Christian Unity. And I read a little bit about this in the bulletin. I have mixed feelings about what happened because this past week we had an election. I'm no longer the president of the Association of Ecumenical Officers for the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops. It wasn't because I was run out of office, though. It was I finished the two-term limit, so there had to be a new president. And I was wondering at the time if I would find myself sad about this. Because, you know, when you have a national job like that, you have an opportunity to do some great things. Well, first of all, I want to tell you I'm not sad at all. Usually we come back from these national workshops and I have a yellow pad full of things to do. I don't have a list, which is a wonderful thing. I think I know now, I remember what it means to be a parochial vicar and not a pastor. But the option of having great accomplishments or great influence or being a part of a national movement like the Ecumenical and Interreligious Dialogue Movement in the United States caused me to start thinking about what it is that makes us successful in our Christian life. It's not necessarily great accomplishments. And I thought of the words of Teresa of Calcutta, who said, "Not all of us can do great things, but we can do small things with great love." And great accomplishments are built on the foundation of each one of us doing small things with great love. And as I've been thinking about this these past few days, there have been some beautiful witnesses. Just looking around, I see so many people to go about doing their daily life things with great love. And I realize that these people are saints. Now, you might ask yourself, how do I know if what I'm doing is out of great love? I would say to you very simply, just like Jesus says in the second reading, "Behold, I'm doing something new." His witness of selflessness has allowed us to understand a new way of living that does not have ourself as its center, but has another human being. And that's what we call love. Yeah, I suppose you could say, well, you love yourself. I think that there is a healthy sort of self-love that's necessary. You can't go through life hating yourself, certainly. But I wonder if perhaps we've given this a little bit too much importance over the obligation that we have as Christians to love one another. If you start doing things for only a motive of love, certainly there are going to be plenty of people who want to know what you're up to, right? They'll want to know what is your hidden agenda behind all of this selflessness. My goodness, if everybody started being selfless, the world would be a completely different place, wouldn't it? Elections might start to make sense. Or social programs might actually look Christian in nature. People might even start praying for one another again in public. I was looking around this national workshop, and I was aware of so many people who have just been in the trenches for so many years, in a quiet way, just trying to make things happen in their community. We listened to one presentation, a seminar, about the Francis effect and what it means to be a person of dialogue. You know, Pope Francis has constantly spoken, since he's been our Pope, about that kind of human interaction that takes place that makes us real human beings after the image of Jesus Christ, people who want to enter into encounter with one another, people who want to have that become a dialogue with one another, people who want to have a relationship come from that dialogue. His recent document that was published in the church about love and the family, if you boil it down, basically he's just saying be real to who you are and be real to the relationships that are in your life. It doesn't mean you necessarily have to agree. It doesn't mean you necessarily even have to approve, but you have to love. And that requires a certain kind of setting yourself aside, even in the smallest way, to be able to allow a space for that person in your life. And then at some point you realize that the space that you allowed wasn't even for that person in particular, but it was for Christ. When we're preparing our confirmation students for the sacrament of confirmation, which is coming up the end of this month of May, we enter into a kind of a contract, I suppose. They're all required to do corporal and spiritual works of mercy for people as a part of their formation. They do this in teams so that they understand that things happen in community. You don't do these things as a freelancer. Otherwise, it can very easily become all about me. We do it as a community, and the community benefits from this relationship. But at the end, when we do our interviews with the teams, I always ask two questions. Who did you encounter in the work that you did? And you know, they might, first of all, they'll say, well, it was elderly people, or it was children with disabilities. It was the poor people who were hungry at a community dinner. It was those people we went to the nursing home and played bingo with, or the soldiers that we sent cards to. But after we talk for a little while, we come around to the real answer. Who was it you encountered? It was Jesus. And then I ask him the second question, who is it you think those people encountered in you? Are they going to remember your name? No, probably not. Are they going to remember what you look like? No, probably not. But they are going to remember in whose name you were there and who he looked and what he looks like. And it's not a matter of facial expression or hairstyle or fashion. They know what Jesus looks like because of what we've done for them. We make that space. That's love. To be able to allow that space to take place in us. I think about last night. We had our auction at Holy Cross Academy last night. It was amazing. We don't know yet what the total was, but I'm pretty sure it's way over the top, especially now that we're trying to put together what we need to expand our facilities as they need to be. But I think about those moms. There were four or five moms who really took the leadership of this year's auction and really poured out their hearts to make this a beautiful evening and a very successful auction. And I wondered about them too. Now that the auction is over, what are they going to do? Because they were doing great things before. Now they have to go back and build on that foundation of small things with great love. Another Francis, St. Francis de Sales, he says it in another way. And I think it's a statement that is sometimes overlooked because it comes with a lot of understanding about self, the way in which we are formed in Christ by the sacraments, the way in which we do have the confidence of God's love and mercy in our lives. And it does necessarily involve a desire in our hearts to do what is right. But St. Francis de Sales simply says, be who you are and be that well. Do a good job at being you. Because God has created you with everything you need, every gift that's necessary, every talent and every movement of your heart, which will allow you to allow that little space to form within you where you can set yourself aside and you can allow that love of other and eventually that love of Jesus to flood you. If you look at the saints, you recognize right away that what they've done is they've allowed that process to continue. That space gets bigger. St. Paul even got to the point where he said, it is no longer I who live, it's Christ who lives in me. That we can, in fact, allow Christ to fill us. And then we have the opportunity to fill the world with Christ. As I have loved you, so you also should love one another. This is how all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another.